This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Hello, Mr. Whiting.
Yes.
Good evening, it's Seddon. I just wondered what the situation is at your end now.
Well, the check's on its way.
You have posted it?
Yeah, it's on its way.
I see.
You should have it in the morning.
Right. You posted it when? On which day?
I posted it today.
Today, yes.
Because, there was no post on over the weekend.
So that's right. Okay, well, that's fine. Well, I shall wait to receive it, and then I'll give you a ring.
Okay, then.
Thank you so much.
Well,
bye-bye.
Bye.
If you keep the thing for long enough, then... Microphone lying on the table. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Anything? Well, they might have some sentimental value later on. No, it's no problem. I merely thought if they were available, rather than letting them be thrown away at a later date or something, then they might as well come along with the machine. But obviously if they're confidential tapes, she's quite right. Testing. Checking for background noise sensitivity.
Hello. Hello.
Testing with microphone lying on table. Microphone lying on table. Testing with microphone on table. Checking for stability. Stability. Testing for stability. Testing for stability. On half half resistance.
But, if you take the situation as it is, it will be nice.
Well, then I look forward to seeing you sometime tomorrow evening.
Yes, but you mustn't be surprised if I... I mean, I'm working hard. And they're very...
Testing 250-ohm relay. Testing 250-ohm relay. With a car, so therefore there is not a clock. Testing again with 185 ohms. 185 ohms. Testing with 185 ohms. That's it, Papel, by the way.
In credit.
That's the current.
That's the account number you gave me to start with. That's 1007431.
Right. £19.
Exactly.
Not, not. Right.
Okay, and the other account number, do you have it?
Usually you'll find that, because you find it more quickly than I do.
Oh, right.
I can find it if you need it, but it takes a little time. Do you want me to look it up?
No, 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 it's all right. You say it's the Business Reserve account?
Business Reserve in the same name, Audiorama Limited, but a completely different number. I had, has that?
Very bad.
Very well. Are you hearing me better than usual, or the same as usual?
Well, it varies sometimes with you, doesn't it? Sometimes I can't hear you well at all. It seems distant. And sometimes it's very good. It depends on whether you sit in your bathtub or in your room or well.
Yes, but I'm using a particular machine now, and I need to know. Is it perfectly clear?
Absolutely clear.
Is it loud or soft?
Nice, just nice.
And how is it now? How is it now? Is it different?
Yes, different. It's much less clear.
Much less clear. So it's better like that, is it?
Yeah.
Aha, that's good. Brauchst du Brot heute?
Yes, please, but don't bring it unless you cut it, because I can't do it. It falls all to bits.
No, I'll cut it. Hello, Iris, it's Morris. How are you?
Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Indeed, I'm just confirming.
Yes.
Fine, and I'm bringing you some glass jars.
Good, fine. That's lovely.
Lovely. How is Stephen?
Oh, he seems to be in pretty good form, thanks.
Good, that's wonderful. Well, look forward very much to seeing you tomorrow.
Yes, what time will you arrive?
Now, I think you generally like it at 12:30, am I right?
It'll do fine, so long as I know. It's all right. I mean, any time's all right. 12:30 will do fine.
12:30 it is.
Right then.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, under wanted, under some heading such as alternative energy or electric power.
Yes, Gordon's very fond of it.
Very good. Lovely. Look forward to seeing you both tomorrow.
Right, about what time?
I'm not absolutely sure.
No.
Can I leave that open? Sometime between, I suppose, 3:30 at the very earliest and sort of 6 o'clock?
Yes, all right. We'll
lovely. Look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much. My name is Seddon, S. Sugar.
Oh, Mr. Geimer, G-Y.
How do you spell it?
G-Y.
Yes.
M-E-R.
Yes.
And it's a mobile phone.
Right. Right. And what part of the world are you?
What part of the world am I?
No, where are you based?
Waltham Abbey.
Waltham Abbey, yes, I see. Do you have a garden?
Yeah, front and back.
Right, that's fine. Fine. I would like to know about the dog. What would you like to know?
Well, how big is it? And is it good for children?
I'll tell you all about it. If you should come to see the puppy,
yeah.
You will be very welcome to meet the mama of the puppy, who is an absolutely adorable and very, very affectionate,
yeah.
Black and white, medium-sized Welsh sheepdog. Who the papa is, we have absolutely no idea. In other words, it's a healthy mongrel. It's rather like me. I'm a mixture of three nationalities, and that makes for healthy blood. The mama is extremely affectionate, almost to the point of being too affectionate.
Yeah.
How the puppy will turn out in the long run, no one can tell, neither you nor I nor anybody else. All I can tell you is how the puppy is now. It's very affectionate. It's black. It was born on the 8th of March. You will have to determine the sex if you come here, because I'm not going to make a mistake again. I made it once, so you will have to judge whether it's male or female.
Oh, right, so, yeah.
Now, what more can I tell you? The asking price is £100, but I'm principally concerned that it should go to a good home.
Yeah.
And if I feel that someone will give them a good home and really, perhaps genuinely, cannot afford £100,
yeah,
well, then I would be prepared to accept slightly less.
Oh, right, I
see. What is your position?
Well, we can afford the dog, yeah. It's, get it for the children, see? I've got four children.
Yes. Well, I mean, all I can say is that to judge from Mama and also from its brethren, I would think that this would be a very an excellent dog for children. It won't be excessively big. It'll only be of medium size. And this type of animal, have you ever had this kind of animal before?
Not a sheepdog, no, but I have had dogs before.
Yes. Well, there are very... for many, many years, I've had Welsh sheepdogs. I'm connected with Wales to some extent. And I find them very affectionate and very intelligent. Right. Now, Mr. Geimer, just before you set off, please be kind enough to telephone me, and I will then not only give you the address and everything, I will also give you exact details how to get here.
Oh, right, okay, that'd be lovely.
But I would ask you to come equipped with £100 in cash.
Yes, no problem.
In case you want to buy the puppy. You see, it's one of a litter, and another puppy, two others were sold a few days ago, and both the purchasers are absolutely delighted with them.
Oh,
there is another thing I must tell you. I belong to that fraternity of people who believe in alternative medicine. In other words, not chemical medicine,
yeah,
but natural medicine.
Oh.
And I, therefore, if I was keeping these animals, I would not have them inoculated. I never have my dogs inoculated.
Oh.
So if you belong to the other camp and you do believe in inoculation, this is something you are going to have done at your own expense.
Oh, yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
The other thing is that if you do decide to buy the puppy, I shall ask you to sign a document, which I've already typed out,
mm-hmm,
in which you agree that if within 6 months of purchase the dog should become ill, you will immediately notify me, you will return the puppy to me without any delay at all.
Mm-hmm.
I will then either refund you the amount you paid for it, or, if I should have one, I will supply you another puppy in lieu.
Okay.
But that if you should incur expenditure for vets, which can be extremely expensive,
yeah,
you will be fully responsible for those, and you will not expect, you will not look to me
to reimburse
you any vets expenditure.
Yes, that's fine.
Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Righto, fine. Well, ring me. Now, when would you be ringing me? Will you be ringing me on Friday or on Saturday?
I'll probably ring you Friday night when I finish work.
Yes, okay, that's fine. And if I shouldn't be in,
yeah,
there is an answering machine on which you can leave messages.
Okay.
And the machine will normally also give you another number that I might be on if I'm not on this one.
Oh, well, I see.
Good. Well, I look forward to seeing you then on Saturday afternoon,
okay,
about 4, time, and to hearing from you on the telephone before that.
I tell him.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Bye-bye. We seem to have problems. Now, I was away, and I got back late last night, too late to do anything about it, and I had a recorded message from Roland, Mr. Roland, saying there was a problem about the freezer and also about the cooker. And there was a separate call from Mrs. Foley saying that there was a problem with the television.
Natürlich, Reden kann das, was man irgendwie ganz gut findet, kann ich mal. Aber es ist ja irritierend. Es ist ja irritierend für Mind und Körper. Es ist ja idiotisch. Also, lass uns nicht mehr darüber sprechen. Ich rufe dir an, zum Teil, im Zusammenhang mit Nebenwirkungen. Denn du weißt, gestern Abend, ich habe deine mehrere Sachen probiert. Als ich im Bett ging, in die Nacht, so um 1, spürte ich ganz ungewohnte, there were sort of pains in the bladder region and in the, just behind the penis. Now that's something I'm absolutely not accustomed to and I never normally get. So it's very odd. And I tend to think, just as you're now saying, that your throat has something to do with those things, well that I wouldn't like to say yes or no. But I tend to think that the pain that I experience is probably connected with one or other of those substances which I tried at your flat last night. Now I don't know which one it is, but I think it may be that thing. I don't know what happened to it. I thought I'd just take it away. But in fact, I don't seem to have it. Never mind. It's better thrown away, perhaps. Those things from the bark of a tree. You know the things I mean?
Yes. The other day, I took these infections away because the effect was terrible. And, I don't want to hear and to see anything. It is not for me. Unfinished. Es ist besser nur noch mal. Jetzt muss man dies tun und das. Es ist ja zum Kotzen. Es ist ja furchtbar.
Ich würde auf alle Fälle diese Baumrinde Zeug nicht nehmen. Was ist daraus geworden? Wurde das weggeworfen schließlich oder was?
Weiß ich nicht.
Ich würde es nicht nehmen.
Das interessiert mich auch nicht mehr.
Das nicht nehmen.
Und all diese Sachen. Das, also, gut. Also ich man was thought to be aber einfach alles zu verpönen, quasi-mäßig, und das ist auch, das hat auch Handel. Ja, das musst du dir, das überlasse ich an dir. Da musst du mich aber dann wegverschonen. Okay. Die Trottelei gestern Abend hat bestimmt nicht gut getan. Und das, was ich heute früh fühle, ist nicht normal. Also, Schluss. Das ist irgendwas. Doch, du musst wissen, dass das besser ist. Okay. Also, wir sprechen später. Alles Gute.
Lying slap loose on the floor, or what? Very taut.
When she dropped the clothes, wasn't it? It was gone top. Because there was a bit quiet in it, but not very still.
It was spicy.
Well,
does the label reflect look as though it's damaged at the point? Either at the point where face written on it, or at any other point where it might have got torn. The blow?
No.
Well, I can suggest if I've got a fuse, of course I will let you know. Well, whether it will produce the result you want, we don't know. It's in the laboratory. Well, maybe it will work straight away, but it may be, you see, that jolt has short-circuited something in the set,
and have therefore quite correctly blown the fuse.
Yeah, what I was going to do, I was going to try the fuse. If the fuse is no, and it's not the fuse, then I was just going to scrap the belly anyway, because we've had it terrible. I'm going to try to live, you know, to see if it does. If it does, it then if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Well, the problem here is, you see, there are many different shapes and sizes and types of flues. So short of actually seeing it, I don't know. Could you tell me one other very important thing? This will probably be written on, with any luck, it'll be written on the end of the fuse. Does the fuse have little brass caps on the end of the glass tube?
Yes.
Well, on those caps, usually engraved in cap, is written the current rating. Now, this might be 1A, 2A, 2.5A, it might be 500 MA, 600 MA. Could you tell me what that rating is?
315, 375.
Yeah,
315.
Gosh, well, that's 315, A.
Yes.
Now, that is not a normal rating at all. 315A, this is very baffling. Or is it 315MA?
I think it's got T.
T for Donald's call, capital T.
Capital T.
Yes?
158.
That is baffling. It's not a normal rating at all. You see, this could be a millimetric fuse. Do you have a ruler that works in millimetres and centimetres?
We'll just get one out of the shed.
Thank you.
See you, but you must forgive me now if I get away. I've got to go to London, and we shall talk further. I'm sure you're right. I expect the whole thing is on massive intrigue.
I've got to catch you tomorrow. I'll phone you tomorrow.
Oh, lovely, do that, and then if it's convenient, I'll come over tomorrow. And if it isn't, shall we aim at the weekend?
I think it's working on Saturday, forenoon and afternoon.
Right.
So,
okay, and failing that, I mean Sunday.
Yeah, well, tomorrow, we start with tomorrow.
Well, indeed. Well, let's see how it goes from day to day.
Okay, tomorrow, off you go to London.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's very sweet of you.
He said he was going to be back here, Morris, you know, sort of early-ish. But while he was saying that, the phone rang just as he was leaving, and this was someone else landed him with some work. And this is it's the same situation. When would you like to know that you can come here definitely?
Well, I think I'm going to leave it open to you to let me know just as soon as you know, whenever that may be. Because I don't have any appointment to go anywhere today. And therefore I shall in all probability be in the whole day, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I've already been out on the one thing I had to do this morning, that's dealt with.
Yeah.
So I'll just wait on your news.
I don't, at the present time.
In spite of this additional thing that came onto his plate?
Yes, because
Right, so what sort of time might that be?
Well, I'm
sick on it. No, I shan't bank on it. Well, I'll wait to hear from you.
I'll phone you.
Yeah, that's kind of fine. I visited Andrew Lummis yesterday, and I talked with him about this project that Paul very kindly has offered to involve himself in. I don't know if he's told you all about it, but I'll leave him to tell you about it. Anyway, Andrew was telling me, he reiterated that which Paul had told me a few days earlier. He said how very, he didn't use the word public-spirited, it was I who introduced the word public-spirited, Paul is, but he described Paul in a very laudatory fashion, such that I was, that I felt myself constrained to use this word public-spirited, because what he did was to reiterate what Paul had said to me the other day. And he said, well, do you know, Paul had that land there in Kensal, and he could very well have sold it for some enormous sum of money. And do you know that instead of doing that, he leased it or let it to us? And I said, yes, he did tell me that. He said he'd leased it to you for about 30,000 a year. Oh, he said a bit less than that. No, I suppose it does come to about that. But you see, he could so easily have made a great deal of money on it, and he didn't. And I thought this was awfully nice. I mean, you know, it shows good feeling on both sides, and it shows how Paul approaches things in a very constructive way in this age where, let's face it, a lot of people are simply concerned for quite ruthless profit, 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 and nothing else.
But we found that when we're dealing with crooks, if we give them a square deal, we invariably get a square deal back.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. Would you say that again? When you're
dealing with firms which are dodgy, which are really crooked.
Yes. Now, that's very interesting that you should say that, James, because I had a rather interesting case in point. I had been insured with the General Accident Company here at this house for the last, I don't know how long have I lived here, 32 years. And this insurance covered the contents of the house and also the structure of the house and whatever might happen to it through various kinds of accident. And about 4 years ago, I didn't actually make a claim. I simply sent them a claim form on which I simply typed the following words. Large cracks have appeared in the walls of this building, and they are getting bigger rather rapidly. And I feel that it would be a good thing if you sent an engineer to have a look. I didn't claim anything. I simply said, come and have a look, and in effect, tell me whether this is an insured claim or whether it isn't. And they sent people along, and this went on, this operation went on for a number of years. They sent people, and somebody else came, and letters were written. And eventually, some very high-powered person appeared, coming from Perth, in your Scott country, in Scotland, from the head office. And the implication had been that they thought, somehow, that I was being dishonest with them. Well, how could I possibly? This is an old house. It's over 230 years old in part, over 130 year old in part, the former dower house of the local moated mansion belonging to the Montagues, formerly of Motor Museum fame, from the days when they had their manorial seat here long ago. Anyhow, it's an old house. It's on rather peculiar ground that moves about, and it had always been somewhat cracked, as I told them. But in latter years, in the last year before I wrote to them, these cracks had got rapidly much, much worse than they'd been in the preceding 28 years, or whatever it was. So I said, it's absolute nonsense. The last thing I would ever do is to swindle an insurance company. You must make up your own mind on this matter. You can see for yourself what has happened here. This house has never been level. The doors have never been square. They've always been other than 90 degrees. There is no damp course. Everything moves about here. But whereas in past years the thing has been within small and quite tolerable limits, in the last 1 year, suddenly everything has changed and has got very, very much worse. You can see this for yourself. Have a look at the width of the gaps here. Have a look at the width of the gaps there, and so on. And the end of this matter was rather as you said. They drew in their horns. They were rather apologetic and looked rather sheepish, and they paid to have it done. And I insisted, in order that there could be no question of my abstracting the funds from anything other than the requisite work, I insisted on signing a mandate so that the engineer, which they had recommended to me to take charge of the work, had full charge of receiving every penny of the funds and the disbursement of every penny thereof to the contractor, so that I never saw a penny of it. And it all went out, something more than £15,000 were spent in that way. Putting these, whatever they call these, in Italian they call it muri di sostegni, underneath the foundations, you know, kind of walls 2 meters 20 high, I think, and enormously wide, to distribute the load and try and stop it sinking any further.
Yeah, they make a concrete raft.
No, they didn't actually do that. But they put vertical walls underneath the existing vertical foundations. You see, the existing foundations are relatively shallow. They go down about 2 or 3 feet. And underneath these, they put additional walls, giving an additional height of over 2 meters.
Underground.
Completely underground. You don't see any part of it. It's absolutely hidden, every part of it. And it's underneath the existing foundations. Not the whole of the way around the house, but quite a large, I suppose, 65% or 70% of the circumference of the house. No, perhaps not as much as that. Certainly 50% they have done, wherever the cracking was worst. And so it is, as you say, that you deal with people who try and do you down, as these people apparently were trying to do by trying to wriggle out of it. And then when they see that you're being absolutely straightforward with them, they feel a little stupid. Don't you think that must be the explanation?
Well, I don't know about that.
Then what is the reason that they then become perfectly amenable? That's very interesting. And I think it's the old proverb, you reap what you sow.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that probably is true. But it is an interesting reflection, this point that you've raised, that even when you're dealing with crooked people.
Yeah.
And that, I think, could also be true. Because, again, I have another example of that. Years ago, 30 years ago, I was applied to by a gypsy, labor, sort of quasi-gypsy labourer, living in a caravan on a former farm, which was used as a storing dump for ex-World War II military aircraft. Do you remember that scandal? You will do, James. Years ago, somebody was put in prison for many years. I can't remember what it's all about. Something to do with scrap and military aeroplanes going to Egypt and all that kind of thing. It sort of been 25, 30 years ago.
Yes, well, I was involved in something of the same with tanks. Yeah,
well,
tanks.
Oh, really?
Which is very nice.
But well, sorry, yeah. What rings?
Well, rings for a tank.
Uh-huh.
The tank ring is a defensive weapon. Exported them to Israel, where they fitted them to the defensive weapon to make them offensive weapon.
Oh, I see.
Right in the tricks to get up to.
So they got round it that way?
Yes, but these rings that we were getting, we were getting so many, these must be coming from America rather than from old tanks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is a way to do things,
isn't it? Well, that is interesting. Well, anyway, this Didikoi fellow was living in a caravan on a place, I remember it well, it was called Tan House Farm. It's not far from here, it's near Colnbrook.
Yeah.
And he wanted a television set on hire purchase. And everybody had warned me, don't supply anything on hire purchase to these Didikois because they don't pay their bills. Well, I suppose I was known for the fact that I dealt with people in a straightforward manner. And I approached the head of their clan. The man was called Gregory, and the head of the clan was also called Gregory. And he lived in a site very near here, only 400 metres away, called Back Meadows, where he lived in a very grand, frightfully glitzy caravan full of shining, polished objects, you know. And he was the sort of head of the clan. And I went to him, and I said, Mr. Gregory, your namesake in the Tan House Farm, Colnbrook, has asked me to sell him a television set on hire purchase. But I have been warned not to do this, because I am told that people of your ilk very often don't pay the bills. Now, what is the situation with all this? And he said to me, he spoke to me in a most solemn tone of voice, I think I've ever been spoken to by anybody. He said, now, you take my word, sir, speaking in a very funny sort of way, you take my word, sir, that'll be all right, and if he don't pay, I'll beat the living daylights out of him, or something of this kind. And I was absolutely astonished by this. And he seemed so definite and absolutely firm, there seemed not to be the slightest shadow of question in his mind, but that man would pay every penny. And he did, James. He did.
It's nice to hear that, you know.
Isn't it remarkable?
Yes.
Now, what has become of that man? Now, that Back Meadows has long since ceased to be a Didikoi site. It's now the site of a building merchant called Hills, who's on the same site. So where they've gone, perhaps that old man may have died long ago. He was already, I should have said, probably... I was then, how was I? Probably 40. He must have been 60 or 70. He looked a very strong man, dark of skin, and immensely determined.
Yes.
Kind of chieftain in his own right.
I think the same applies to gypsies as applies to non-gypsies nowadays. I think standards
are split.
I think the
modern day gypsy would
be a lot less honourable than the old Romany.
Oh, really?
Well, that's the way things are going. First of all, we're just getting older. But in my opinion, people are never getting so dishonest.
And that's interesting.
I mean, that's the view I hold from experience, but as I say, we may just be getting wiser.
And I don't know. I think you may be right. Because thinking back to these people with this... Did Paul tell you the story of this house?
I don't know the story of it.
One of us will tell it to you in due course. Suffice it to say that the story of this house tends to indicate that what you've just said is right.
Yes.
I think I'll leave it at that for the moment.
Yes, this is costing you money. Quit telephoning Paul with his expensive little buzzer.
My God, you're quite right. Right, I must stop telephoning immediately. You're so right, and we must talk when we meet, James.
As soon as I've got information.
Thank you for telling me. I'm wasting money.
Nice of you to call.
All the best to you.
Bye-bye.
And look forward to hearing later. Bye-bye.
You
think it's probably about three.
I think so.
Bye-bye.
Now, I'll fill you in on what I can about it.
Coming. But we had a very nice little chat. She seemed reasonably well. She said she wasn't very well, but in fact she conversed quite fluently.
Yes, I was up there this afternoon on the way home from this coast, and she said to me that physically she wasn't too bad, but mentally she was a bit goofy. And this was proved by the fact that she has a sort of semi-Chinese person who sees her at seven every night, and she said, I've only had her twice here. Well, I know she's been there 3 weeks.
Oh, I see.
So her memory has gone a bit.
Yeah.
On the whole, as you say, she's amazingly sort of okay. It's very nice you'd think of going there.
No, not at all. She's an amazing person. I admire her enormously. For that age, to do as she does, I think it's phenomenal.
She's a, of course, doesn't understand the problems one has. She doesn't want a resident nurse there, and so we have to have series of people going along, you know.
Yes, of course. It must be very difficult.
And there's the girl upstairs who lives there normally, in order to be somebody else in the building at night. Well, I mean, she goes away, so then we have to replace her with somebody else.
Oh, dear. Is she reasonably helpful, the woman upstairs?
Oh, extremely nice, yes, extremely nice. It'll take my mother a cup of tea eventually, occasionally. And, I mean, the main thing is that simply having her in the house, you know. But, I mean, to start with, my mother sort of advertised the fact she'd like somebody upstairs. We produced the district nurse, which was obviously the answer. But, I mean, she said, no, I don't want her in the house. I mean, that's the sort of problem one has, you see.
And that would have been ideal, wouldn't it?
Oh, it couldn't have been better. But, I mean, two or three times, you know, we've produced people and she's just turned them down and said she didn't want them there.
Oh, dear, how sad.
But it's something that the woman's up there and that this series of sort of semi-Chinese women and so forth who roll up there, there's still a sort of faithful person called Mrs. Brown who goes in the morning, but she can't. My mother has a great hankering after a bath. The only person who can do that is a sister who I went to see today, who's at Hindhead. She comes over on...
Oh, Iris.
Iris, that's right, yes.
How is Iris?
Iris is tough enough to... She's extremely tough. And she deals with my mother once a week in the bath. And she loves... My mother loves having a bath. And she likes.
Well, no wonder. Bath is a very enjoyable thing.
I suppose it is, really. But it's tricky if you, you know, if you need help.
Well, absolutely, yes.
I mean, once I found her in the bath with all her clothes on.
Oh, no!
Water out, yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
And she had clothes... she'd put on because she thought it was better to keep warm. So I had to get the pub keeper to help me to pull her out of the bath.
But I don't quite understand. Had she fallen into the bath while fully clad?
No. No, what she'd done was to have a bath and been able to get out. So rather cunningly, she'd let the water out, put her clothes on, which were in the bathroom on a chair, and awaited developments. I mean, this is her sort of normal form. Another day you'll go around there and you'll find her sitting on the floor with her feet in an armchair.
Yes.
Not intentionally, simply because she's fallen over.
Yes, of course. Now, there are various devices I could mention to you, John, that might be of help there. With the first case, not with the second, that's more difficult. But with the first case, there are two possible things that might help her. The first would be a very simple mechanical device, taking the form of a block and tackle attached to the ceiling directly above the bath, with a kind of thing like a bosun's chair or a sling for her to sit in. And she could literally, by her own physical effort, due to the leverage provided by the pulley system, she could wind herself up and down in and out of the bath.
That reminds me of my brother-in-law who devised a system of getting her upstairs. She had great difficulty in getting upstairs in her wheeled chariot. So he got his tractor, this is really true, outside the window.
This is Stephen.
Hauled her up. Stephen, you heard about it, didn't you?
Of course. No, I didn't hear about it.
No, but you can see that happening, can't you?
I can. So he hauled her up and down with a tractor?
Well, certainly up. I don't know about down.
Well, now, I must tell you there that if she ever needs to go upstairs again, I expect you know about it. There is a perfectly good device. I can't remember its name. It carries invalids up and down on a chair attached to a rail just above the staircase.
I think she'd be pushed in her house because it has a... She doesn't need to go upstairs, fortunately, but, I mean, it has a right-angle turn.
I agree, it's difficult. But these things actually do negotiate curves. It's quite extraordinary.
Yes.
But now, coming back to the bath, there is a second alternative. When I was holidaying down in Wales one day, a few years ago, I met a man who has designed and manufactures a kind of pneumatic device, electrically pumped pneumatic device, which lies down on the bottom of the inside of the bath, rather like a sort of collapsed concertina.
Yep.
And this goes underneath the seat of the invalid. And when the invalid wants to get out of the bath, all they do is to press a button, an electric motor starts up, and pumps air into this thing like a concertina, which gradually inflates and raises the level of the seat underneath the invalid until it's at the level of the top edge of the bath.
It's true.
And it apparently works perfectly.
Well, I mean, I'm all for any of these things, but my mother is very unmechanical, and Iris is the expert on this. You know Iris quite well.
Known her for years.
Oh, that's good. Well,
I mean, for 20 years.
If you happen to get in touch with her at all, even by post or anything, I think she'd be very grateful. She does the bathing, and if this pulley, I mean, we could easily arrange for it to be put up. If she agrees, it would be the answer. I think it might help a lot.
Well, the pulley would be the simple thing. But you see, it does depend on the mechanical effort on the part of the bather.
I quite see that, yes.
But I mean, with a sufficient number of multiplication blocks in the pulley, you can divide the effort to any desired degree.
Quite. I mean, the other thing is, if there's anything mechanical, she'll sabotage it. That's why I say, I answer that. I mean, she got a machine for calling people up in emergency, and of course she...
Oh, I know, that locket thing.
The wrong moment, you know.
Yes, and of course she has no faith in it anyway. She says it's no good.
And the bed, but I mean, the other day, getting into bed, she started off. Somebody arrived and sent for the police and the ambulance and the God knows who else.
And there was nothing wrong?
No, nothing wrong at all.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
So, I mean, at any rate, if you happen to be at all in touch with Iris, that would be wonderful.
Well, I'd give her a ring now. There's no time like the moment. I'll ring her at once. I did try and get her earlier when I rang you, but there was then no reply.
No. Well, I was there for tea today.
You were?
With Iris, yes, and then to my mother's.
I'll give her a ring straight away and tell her about both devices. But as you say, your mamma is singularly unmechanical, and I fear with unmechanical people those things are doomed to failure.
Well, I mean, obviously the thing at the ceiling would be very good.
How are you?
Very well, very well.
Good. Now, you must forgive me, but I'm a most awful muddler. We had a long conversation some time ago, and I was going to send you certain things, and I'm really not very sure anymore what I did and didn't send you. Would you please remind me?
You didn't send me anything, Morris.
Oh, I am so sorry.
No, it's all right. You got my letter, did you?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. And in fact, it's because I opened a file at the particular point where your letter is 2 minutes ago that I remembered that something had gone wrong, but I didn't remember what.
That's all right, Morris. It happens to me all the time.
Dear me, you see, in one-man business, one is working non-stop. Now, I promised to send you some photo stats, I expect, and you say I didn't send you any.
No, I've not had anything, Morris.
Oh, how awful. Now, did I also say I was sending you a videotape?
That's right, yes, that's right, I seem to remember you saying that.
Can you remind me what kind of videotape it is?
I've forgotten what it was, Morris.
Well, do you have Beta or VHS?
Oh, VHS.
VHS.
Yes.
Right, well, now, it happens I've got a VHS under my hand at this moment, which has recently been transcribed. I warn you that the copying quality is very bad, because it's an umpteenth generation copy. It's been recopied and recopied and recopied so many times.
Yes.
You know, that it's very blurred. But nevertheless, I mean, basically, it gives you the content, the sound is all there, and the picture there is there with reduced definition and a certain amount of flicker.
I understand.
So I'll send you that, I will also send you some photo stats, and I hope they entertain you. Now, the other thing is, looking at this, I see you live near Bristol. Oh, dear, I could kick myself. It happened that I was in Bristol only for 1 3/4 days about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, what a pity.
And if I had remembered that you were living near Bristol, I could have killed two birds with one stone.
That's right. It's only about 20 minutes out of the city, from the city centre down to where we live.
Isn't it too silly for words?
Not to worry, Morris.
Well, I shall be there again, no doubt, sometime. I don't know when.
Well, you're always more than welcome. It would be good to meet with you in person.
Well, that would be nice.
Yes, that's right. I'm glad you got my letter. By the way, was it correctly addressed? Do you remember? It's just Datchet Cottage. Datchet, isn't it?
Well, that will do, in fact, because it's an ancient and historic house. It goes back a very, very long way. It's not my house. I'm just the humble tenant. But it's a former dower house of a local moated mansion, which formerly was inhabited by the Montagues before they went to Beaulieu, wrongly called Beaulieu.
Yes.
A long time ago. And it's now just a sort of ruinous has-been, you know. Datchet Cottage, Datchet will do. If you want the full address, it's 138.
Yeah.
Horton, H-O-R-T-O-N Road.
Ah, that's the bit I was missing, I think.
I don't think it's very important. And you've got the telephone number.
Yes, I've got that. It was just, I knew I'd missed out the road. 138 Horton Road.
Datchet. And the telephone number, to give it to you again, is 0753...
Yes.
42242.
Good, Morris. I'll check my file. I know, I'm pretty certain I've got the telephone number. It was, I knew I'd missed out the road. I'm glad you got the letter. And if you can put something in the post, then when I've read that, I'll reply to you. And
Well, I'll simply... I'm not... Forgive me if I don't write. I just don't have time to write. What I shall do is put in an envelope or even in a polythene bag the videotape, which is ready.
Yes.
And post that to you. And then when I have the time, I'll run off some photo stats and send you those as well.
Yes.
But they'll probably come separately and later. Now, apropos the videotape, the situation is this. I part with an awful lot of these tapes to various people, and most of them never come back to me.
One will, I can assure you.
Now, if you'd like, may I suggest, normally, as far as commercial users are concerned, I always say, please return or remit £35, which covers the labour of preparing the recording. In your case, as an old friend, I would simply say, please return the tape when you've viewed it, or remit, shall we say, I don't know, £6 or £7, with which I can then buy another tape and forget about the labour of doing it. I shall bear that, because you might like to keep it as a memento, and if so, that's okay.
Yes, no, you'll get it back, Morris. I've got four videos here which have been loaned me by an army unit at RAF Lynham. They fly the Hercules and do the heavy drop. I still keep in touch with quite a number of airborne units. I think I said in my letter I'd served with airborne.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and I've got four tapes here dealing with the current parachute training practice and so on, and the latest techniques of heavy drop of equipment from the air, and I've got those to return, and I've been getting things like that over the last 2 or 3 years. So you'll get your tape back, Morris, not to worry.
Johnny Good. Are you in contact with other former Signals people or not?
Well, not directly with Signals, Morris, but mostly with units which are the modern-day equivalent of airborne forces as I knew it. The modern techniques, I mean, for instance, there are no glider-borne troops now. What used to be Army Cooperation is now the Army Air Corps. And all the parachuting techniques have changed fundamentally, and the types of aircraft that people jump from. But I regularly go to RAF or Army stations and depots, and this usually means lunch in the mess and the look round the unit, you know.
Yes.
And I find that of interest to me. And it's not a full-time job, but nonetheless, it's interesting to speak with people serving today to see, you know, their attitudes and how the whole thing works.
Yes, indeed, absolutely. Now, I see from your letter, you suffer with bronchitis and asthma.
That's right, yes.
Did we discuss this in our previous call?
I think I mentioned it, Morris, yes. But
did I react at all?
I seem to think that you... It's not that you have suffered with that, is it, or...?
No. I just wondered whether I had reacted. Let me tell you how I could have reacted. Presumably didn't react, should have reacted, and now shall react.
I remember now, because you were talking about things like the face-warming mask.
Yes, amongst other things.
Yes.
Oh, then I did.
Yes, you did. It's coming back now, Morris.
Did I also tell you about herbal things?
That's right. Yes, you did.
Ah.
Yes, I remember now. I'm sorry. It had slipped my memory, but as you started talking, I remembered.
Yes. Well, there we are. If ever you want herbs for these problems, let me know. It's one of my several specialities. I am what we call in German Heilpraktiker, or you would call it a quack.
Yes.
And I keep myself in inordinately good health. I'm absolutely in blooming good health, notwithstanding my nearly 61 years. And I do the same thing for quite a lot of other people, because I only do it for people who are as sold on the concept of herbs as I am. And that, of course, is a limited number, a small number of people. Because the majority of people take the view that modern medicine is absolutely, you know, the cat's whiskers, and that all the other is just rubbish.
Well, you see, my problem is now that 15 years on steroids, they now have found out all of the side effects, and I've got every one of them. And the problem is now that I can't come off them. And, of course, there are so many side effects that... You know, this is the problem. I'd be perfectly fit if it weren't for the medicine my doctors keep giving me. And that's a sad tale, I'm afraid.
I'm just wondering, yes, now this does come back to me. We did talk about this before, and you did tell me that.
That's right.
Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm only a quack. But I'm just wondering, what is the situation where people get addicted to a thing like that? I tend to think that if the thing is judiciously done, It may be that by little, you could probably come off these things. If you went over to other things which were, you know, effective in a more natural way.
I mean, as a result of being on them for so long, I now draw a severe invalidity pension.
Oh, well, then it would be rather a disadvantage in a way not to have it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a ridiculous state, Morris. They've found out now what the side effects are, and I'm caught hook, line and sinker. It's one of those things that it suppresses the severe attacks, I must admit that. But, of course, just about everything else that can go wrong does. I mean, for instance, I was leaning over the bonnet of the car, checking the battery, and two bones broke, two ribs, rather. And one of the side effects of steroids, long-term steroid treatment, is it prevents calcium forming in the bones. Consequently, all the bones are brittle. So, you know, sounds crazy, doesn't it? You know, the medicine they give you to keep you well kills you.
It's absolutely terrible. And I probably quoted to you the old German proverb, that one is driving out the devil by means of Beelzebub.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, well, you know, if I had enough money to instigate a lawsuit, I'm pretty sure I could sue someone, but I mean, it's... there it is. Fortunately, it enables me to lead a reasonable life, but as I say, the side effects, I think there's about 11 major problems that it causes in long term, and...
Do tell me what the others are. I've heard of them, but I've rather forgotten. So, would you describe that calcium thing? What does it do to the calcium?
Well, it prevents calcium forming in the bones, which consequently means the bones are brittle.
Yes, of course.
There are all kinds of things. I mean, the skin, if I knock it, what would normally not even bother an ordinary person, it's like you try and hit a newspaper which is wet and you scuff it with your fingers and it all rides up. I mean, your skin becomes very... Well, like wet newspaper, really. There are all kinds of side effects, you know. It's a peculiar business.
What other side effects do you have?
Oh, let me see. What else is there? Stress. There's another problem. It restricts the body's natural adrenaline supply. Consequently, that in a moment, and I don't necessarily mean grief-type stress. It can be excitement. That whereas normally a person's own adrenaline would start flowing, it doesn't happen with me. You get things like, it hasn't happened to me, fortunately, but you can get pains which simulate indigestion, and it's a warning sign that you may go into a coma. Oh dear, there are all sorts of things, Morris. But life's pretty good, really, if I take it easy.
Gosh, you really must be careful.
Oh, yes.
Now, have you discussed with your doctors the possibility of coming off these dreadful things?
It's no go. It's no go.
Why is it no go?
Well, I think after 15 years, the body's so addicted to it that it just won't work. And, of course, the problem is, if I do, then I shall, if I were to stop taking these things within a matter of 3-4 days, I'll probably have a raging asthma or whatever. Oh, I know there's another thing. They also reduce the body's natural immunity to infection. Consequently, I'm forever on antibiotics for throat or chest infection, practically permanent thrush of the mouth and so on, because some of the steroid is taken in, high-pressure tube. You squeeze the tube. Aerosol-type. Ingestion of the steroid.
I didn't get that. What tube is that?
Well, it's the drug, the steroid drug is in suspended form in an aerosol tube. And you take that by breathing it in, inhaling it through the mouth. You know, you press the can, as it were, and it sprays like an aerosol can. And you then breathe it in. But of course, the problem is it coats the inside of the mouth with steroid, which in turn reduces the normal body's immunity in, say, the mouth to resist infection. And consequently, you can get infection quite easily. And that's another side effect of these confounded things.
How awful. Poor Ken, my heart goes out to you. I don't know what to say. I mean, You really are absolutely in the grip of allopathic medicine and all its horrors.
Well, yes, I mean, every time I go to see my doctor and I walk in, he says, how are you today? And I'd say, well, I'd be fine if it wasn't for the damn medicine you keep giving me. And we both laugh and, you know, there it is.
God, how awful.
Well, not really, I suppose, Morris, because it has given me something like 15 years, more or less, free of very serious attacks of asthma. I've had one or two, but nothing as bad as they were. I mean, they were really, really bad. You know, start turning blue because I can't breathe properly and so on. But, you know, if that's the bad side, the other side of it, life is pretty good. I don't really have any complaints. I look around and people half my age are, you know, injured or crippled or something strikes them down. So I count myself lucky, really.
Well, I suppose we must all count our blessings.
Well, that's it, Morris, yes.
I mean, if we look around us, we find people in such a much worse state than we. This is so true. We find people dying of cancer or already dead or with one foot in the grave or blind or something like that. And by comparison, even the things you've got are relatively mild.
Well, that's right, yes. As long as I keep taking these things, then, you know, I have to pace myself well. I get tired very quickly. But that's all right if I pace myself. And life really is pretty good. And like you, in our 61st year, I look around at some of the people and they haven't had half that time, really, before something strikes them down. So,
this is very true.
Yes. All right, Morris. Well, if you put the some bits and certainly some of your photostat copies at some time of your products and so on, I'd be very interested to receive them. I certainly will see you get the VHS tape back.
Thanks very much. Well, either send me the tape back or send me the money to buy another tape. Or even send me a good, serviceable, nearly new VHS tape of the same duration, which is a 3-hour tape as this one, which you don't need.
Yes.
I mean, any of those solutions will do.
All right, Morris. Well, not to worry. You'll get the tape itself back. And don't forget, Morris, if you are this way, mostly myself or my wife are here at the bungalow. And if I'm not here, it's usually that I'm out on the motorbike. Of course, if anything happens when I'm on the motorbike, they'll roll me up like a carpet because the bones will be in little bits.
Because, oh, how awful.
Well, you see what I mean. In fact, the doctor said to me, he said, don't play any sports where you have to twist like golf or tennis or squash. And he said, don't jump off any high height, he said, because the bones won't take it. So if I leave the motorbike at 60 miles an hour one day, they'll roll me up like a carpet.
May I suggest to you, now you've told me that, Ken, that from now on you motorcycle at not more than 30 miles an hour?
Oh, well, there's no fun in it, is there, Mark?
Of course there's fun in it.
Well,
there's fun in riding a pedal cycle.
Yes, actually, most of the motorcycling I do is to poodle around the little back lanes and byways, and I enjoy that. As much as, you know, opening the throttle and getting some wind in the willows.
Well, absolutely. Tell me, where are you in relation to Avonmouth?
Well, Avonmouth, I suppose, let me see, we are about...
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.